Hey guys, it's Casey, and you are listening to the Legal Girl Pod, the podcast for law students, professionals in the field, and anyone considering starting their legal journey. I'm so happy that you're here. Now let's get into today's episode, where I interview my friend and classmate, Mallory Lucas. Mallory ranked number one in our entire 1L class, both semesters of 1L, and impressively remained in the number one spot in our first semester of 2L. Now we are entering our final exam period of our second semester of 2L, and she's here to share her tips and insights on how she became and remained number one in the class. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoy. So today on the Legal Girl Pod, we have a good friend here from my law school. Her name is Mallory Lucas, and she is actually the top of the class. She has been since our first year in law school, so I have her on just to share all of her tips and tricks and insights for you guys. So without further ado, this is Mallory. So if you just want to introduce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mallory. Like Casey was saying, we go to law school together. As a lot of listeners might know, there's not much to me or my personality outside of law school, so I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So, what age were you when you started law school?
Okay, I'm bad at math, but I must have been 23. Yes, I was 23 when I started.
Okay, yep. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And you're originally from Detroit, or?
No, I'm actually from the Flint area, so okay. I grew up in a small town called Durand. There was no one there.
Oh.
And then I ended up kind of going over to Flint. I lived there and I went to school at U of M Flint, and then I was working at various places in Flint, which I'll kind of get into because it relates to my law school journey. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then just as we're introducing you, what are some things you like to do in your free time that don't involve law school, if there are any? I know once you're in law school, it's kind of all law school.
Yeah.
But is there anything outside of law school that you like to do?
I would say anything that has to do with food.
Oh, yeah.
I love eating. I love going to restaurants. Like, it's probably my favorite thing to do. And then, I don't know, I have a Dalmatian. Her name is Kyoto. She's a puppy. So I like to go on walks with her and just cuddle her. And then also I nap, like, whenever I can. Mm-hmm. So
yes I feel you on that one. Why did you originally come to law school, and did you know that you always wanted to go to law school?
So actually, I didn't always know I wanted to go to law school. It was kind of a thought in the back of my head as I was growing up, but I kind of originally, I wanted to be a teacher, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I really love kids, and so I wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And that's kind of where I was, like, gearing towards during high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started working in Flint and going to school there and stuff, I just saw how the justice system impacts people in a way that I just was never aware of before.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got interested in that, and I was working in several jobs within the criminal justice field. So,
okay.
If anyone is studying criminal justice, you'll probably know, but there's three branches of it. So it's cops, courts, and corrections. And then I knew I wanted to work within the justice system. I just didn't know where. So I worked in police departments. I worked in the jail in Flint and of wanted to see if that was a good fit for me. I liked it, but then I realized that where I could utilize my skills the best would probably be in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that when I was working at the prosecutor's office in Flint. And ever since then, I just knew that it was the path for me. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So going into law school, was it what you expected it to be? And I guess primarily asking about your first year. Like, was it going into it, the cold calls, the homework, the reading, was it what you expected out of it?
Well, I will say that it was a shock, especially with the amount of reading that we were expected mm-hmm. to do. At my school, at U of M Flint, for example, it wasn't very homework heavy,
mm-hmm.
Especially in my field of criminal justice and sociology and political science. Like, we had some reading, but it was never that much.
Okay.
So when I got to law school, I was very surprised by, like, okay, I actually need to strategically plan out, like, how I'm going to approach this work or else it won't get done.
Yeah.
And stuff. So that was very shocking. But I will say the environment of law school, which I don't know if it's particular to our school or what, but I was pleasantly surprised that everyone was really nice and I didn't feel like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And people were just there to like support each other.
Right.
So I don't know. I just was really pleasantly surprised that the environment was so good, but the work was, like, very shocking.
Right. I noticed that, too, with how collaborative.
Yes.
I don't know if it's, like, specific to our class or our school.
Right.
But you see, like, posts of people being, like, you know, they won't share their notes.
Yeah.
And I haven't really ran into that with our class.
No, like, not at all. Everyone has been so helpful, and, like, if you miss class, like, they're happy to send you notes. Everyone is, like, more than willing to study together and, like, share, like, their thoughts on different topics that, like, I might have missed something that you got and stuff. So it was great. So in terms of that, it just made my transition into law school, like, really easy.
Gotcha. Okay. And a note to all of our listeners, you want to be that kind of law student that yes. shares your notes.
Yes.
Because you're building a legal community in law school. You know, you're building relationships that, you know, the legal community is a very small community.
Yes.
Is what we're told so many times, so you don't want to be known as the person who didn't share their outline.
Yeah. Sure. Or was, like, mean, like, in general. Like, everyone is, you'll make so many friends if you're just, like, helpful to other people. And, like, it's really the best. Like, you can't beat it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what is your daily routine? You know, how do you manage your mental health, your physical health, while also maintaining high grades or, you know, all A's consistently? How do you balance that?
Ooh, so it's a tricky question. It really just depends on, like, what I have going on at the time. Because, so, for my first year, I had a job the whole year. I was working at the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Wow, and they advise you not to have a job the first year, right?
So. Yeah, I think you're, like, not supposed to, but I was like, I am poor.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna keep working. So I was working there. I guess, like, the key to that, if you're gonna have a job, would be, like, communication. With who you're working for so that they understand exactly what you're going through. Mm-hmm. So I would say I had to balance work, so that was always something that was on my schedule every day.
Oh, so you worked every day?
Yes, I worked 5 days a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was doing that, and then my first year I really prioritized getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, enough is, I don't know.
Subjective, maybe?
Yeah, it's subjective. I don't know if your doctor would tell you that this is enough, but it was enough for me. So, like, I made sure I got, like, if I got 7 hours of sleep, it was a good night.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's fine, right? So,
right. That's, like, for a law student, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah. So, I had to, like, I would cut myself off, like, when I'm doing work on, like, certain times of the night. And then, I don't know. I mean, I tried my best to, like, eat well and stuff, because that's so important for how your well-being is.
Yes.
But that was probably where I struggled, was, like, it's so hard to find the time to, like, actually cook healthy meals or meal prep and stuff.
Yeah.
So that wasn't really something that I was able to do, but I tried to do it when I could.
Right.
And then finally, I would say I prioritize getting exercise. I tried to work out, like, between 3 and 4 days a week.
Okay.
But I wasn't hard on myself if I couldn't make that happen, because it's not always easy to make happen. Like, you can't do everything.
Right. No.
So, yeah, I would say in terms of my daily schedule, that's kind of what a day in my life would look like. So I'd wake up, I would get everything ready for school, meaning, like, bring any food with me that I needed to bring, all of my books, notes, laptop, go to school, do the 1L schedule.
You're right.
Because it's always the same, and you're kind of there for the most of the day.
It's high school again.
Yes, it's literally high school again. And then I would go to work and get that done, and then I'd go home and just do homework and stuff. You just kind of have to accept the change in lifestyle. I feel like once you accept that, it gets a lot easier.
That's a good way to put that, because it's a big transition from non-law school to law school?
It is. Because
it really takes over so much of your life. On a normal day, how much would you say that you studied? Like, how many hours in a normal day?
So, on a normal weekday, mm-hmm. I would probably spend between 2 and 3 hours, like, after work studying. And that would just be reading for, like, my next day. I had a process.
Oh, okay. Oh, what was
the
process?
Okay. So, mm-hmm. on the weekends, and this was for 1 hour specifically, just because everything was so consistent.
Right.
But, like, so on the weekends, I would get all my readings done for Monday and Tuesday because I had all weekend to do it. And then Monday nights, I would get my reading done for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday nights, I'd get my reading done for Thursday. So I always tried to stay 2 days ahead at all times, but mm-hmm. it also gave me some leeway if that just wasn't possible and something came up. You know, so okay. no matter what, I would be prepared for class, and I gave myself kind of, like, a cushion there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because of the work I would do on the weekends, that's why I was able to only spend, like, I'd say probably 2 hours on the weeknights studying.
Okay. So your studying was, like, a mix of, was it a mix of review and also for reading for upcoming classes?
Yeah, so typically what I would do is I would take an outline from, like, the outline bank or something, and then I would read for class, and I would integrate anything that that outline was missing into that outline.
Okay.
So I was basically, like, in a way I was inspecting the outline to see if it had all the information I thought it needed, and then I would put that into it. And I didn't really review very much, like, until it was more time to start studying, like, more specifically for exams and stuff. But I would say it was mostly preparation, but prepping in a way that was going to make my future review easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of like laying it all out so it was really, you wouldn't have to spend, you know, 3 days outlining.
Exactly.
Kind of would already be there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So then when exam time did come around the corner, when would you typically begin studying, like, on that basis of I'm prepping for the exam now rather than really reading for class? Like,
yeah.
What changed in your routine from, like, your normal to that?
So, okay, it's kind of funny. I have a really weird system. So we had, like, 4 exams that we had to take per semester.
Right.
So I would probably about a month to maybe a month and a half before the exam period would start, I would lay out the schedule of my exams. So I would put them in order of, like, which ones are first, second, third, fourth. And then I would do this study mechanism where I would do whatever was fourth, I would do that outline first. And I'd spend a whole week finalizing the outline, making sure I understood everything in the outline. Not perfectly, but, like,
right.
making sure I didn't have any questions about, like, any topics and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'd kind of get that settled. So I would be like, this week is constitutional law week. And I would do all of that. And then I would kind of set it up so, like, the next week would be the third exam. The week after that would be the second. The week after that would be my first exam. So that way I'm reviewing and finalizing my outline for my first exam the week before that one.
Wow.
So I did it in, like, reverse order, and it kind of...
That really makes sense, though.
Yeah, it was weird, but it took, like, some thinking through and, like, how would this make sense? But it ended up working out, so...
Yeah. Now let's go back to, like, a normal class period, not right before the exams, but let's go back to just throughout the semester. What is, like, your note-taking or, like, your case briefing method? Because I know in 1L, case briefing was, like, you had to do it.
Yes.
Especially for cold calls.
Yes.
I think it's probably a little bit less than 2L now. At
uh-huh.
least I'm not briefing cases
yeah.
like I used to be. So if you remember in 1L, what was kind of your process with that?
I remember very well.
Yeah.
So it ended up getting to a point where, and this is just what worked for me personally, but I was, like, I physically cannot brief all these cases, like,
mm-hmm.
separately anymore. Like, I just couldn't. So what I ended up doing, and I'm so sorry to the bookstore for these books that they had to take back from me, but I would I had like a highlight system for in my book when I would read the cases. So
okay.
I would have one color for the issue, one color for the facts, one color for the holding, one color for the rule.
Smart.
And I would just annotate also in the margins.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I got cold called, I would literally be looking in my book and I would be able to like know what color is like, if they asked me what the issue was, I would be able to go right to it. And I'd kind of annotate it in my own words, like, next to it. So, basically, I took all of my class notes for, like, prepping for class inside of my book.
And it probably was so much faster than typing it all out.
It was. And that, like, saved me so much time. Because, like, sometimes, like, when you're working and stuff, for example, you just have to cut out, like, what you can.
Yes.
You know, so that was one of the things I ended up cutting out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of taking notes in class, I do the same thing with the outlines. So basically, I take in, if it was available, I'd have an old outline.
Okay.
And then I would just be adjusting it based on what the professor was saying, because a lot of the cases were the same. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I would have to, of course, like, integrate some of that in there.
Right.
But, yeah. So okay. Basically just old outlines, putting in my own notes into them, and then reformatting them later on. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that during 1L, I definitely spent way too much time prepping for cold calls rather than actually studying.
Yes.
Because cold calls scared me so much.
Yes.
But I guess that's a really good system, though, of being prepared, but also, I guess you could always, like, look back on the book, too, while you're studying for your exam.
Yeah. Yeah, I just found that, like, I don't know. You get so scared for cold calls, but also our classes are relatively large, so, like, the odds of you getting called on, like, they're not always so big.
Yeah.
So I figured it'd be best to, like, cut time there sometimes. So,
yeah, because I guess at the end of the day, you're not really, most professors didn't grade you on cold calls.
And I've failed cold calls before, like, you know, like, I did my best, but sometimes I just, like, didn't know the answer, and it was, like, not the end of the world.
No,
so.
No, and someone said something to me a couple months ago that stuck with me, is, like, when you're in a cold call, and you're so nervous, and you're like, oh my god, everyone's, like, thinking about what I'm saying right now, they're not thinking about what you're saying at all.
No.
They're stressing out about what they're gonna say
if
they get called on next, and after I heard that, I was like, I mean, that's so true, because that's what I did.
Yeah.
I didn't even listen to people's answers.
No, I couldn't tell you, like, if someone has, like, a horrible cold call story and I was in the room, could not even, like, tell you it happened. Like, I would have no idea.
No.
So.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of just, like, blank out.
Yes.
I mean, even in your own cold calls, you kind of just, like, blank out.
Yes.
Sometimes, especially if you're stressed.
Yep.
In 2L, I haven't really had any classes that cold call like 1L did.
Yeah, I have one class where he will cold call. It's my international protection of human rights class, but he doesn't cold call unless he, like, has to. Like,
okay.
No one is participating, and I just do this thing where I'll participate a lot, like, at the beginning. So that way, if I need to check out, he probably won't call on me, because he knows, like, okay, she's prepared, like, it's fine.
Right.
So, it's worked out so far. I don't think I've been, like, cold called. Well, my Trust and Estates class, they have, like, a systematic cold call thing where, like, you know which days you're going to be called on. Kind of like
Crim Pro
as well.
Crim Pro.
Yes.
I love the way they do it in Crim Pro.
Yes, it's so nice.
Yeah, you basically just sign up for 3 different classes so you know when you're going to be on call. So if there's any professors listening to this, you should definitely cold call that way.
Yes, it's so great.
Yeah. So kind of talking about the routine aspect of it. Do you have any, like, ritual or mindset tricks for test day? So, like, on a test day, what does that look like for you? Like, from morning until the test, like, do you have, like, little things that you do, little rituals, little, like, manifestations or affirmations, that sort of thing? Or how do you get yourself pumped up for test day?
I wish I could say I did. So, test day, I just like to pretend that, like, nothing is wrong in the world at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so
positive affirmations,
right? Kind of, yeah. Like, I don't study on test day.
Okay.
Because at that point, it's like, I already know what I'm going to know. And if anything, I'm just going to trip myself up at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I refuse to study.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just, like, keep a clear mind. I don't necessarily, like, do anything in particular. I'll, like, listen to, like, my favorite music or something like okay. that and, like, hype myself up, like, yeah. in the car. But other than that, no. Like, I just make sure I sleep in. I make sure I eat something.
Okay.
I get myself ready because, like, I feel like if you just feel, like, fresh and, like, you feel like you look good, I think that yes. you'll feel more confident when you're taking an exam. Like, I really do think that.
Yeah. Look so, good, feel good.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. I just take care of myself. Like, I'll shower, I'll get ready, I'll eat, and then I'll go take it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I know we've kind of went over your outlining, that sort of thing, and your preparation for test day. Do you actually take practice tests? Like, will you find mm-hmm. old tests, or did you not really use that? Because I know some people have. I did for a couple classes, but I found that really just, like, focusing on the outline
mm-hmm.
was major. But did you ever take any kind of practice tests?
I think the only, well, I took a couple. If okay. they were available and the professor recommended it,
mm-hmm.
I did. And so I did that for con law. I had Professor yes. Rothschild, and he had a few old exams, and it kind of helped me to understand, like, his process and how he writes the exams.
Yes.
So I feel like that was very beneficial, and it gave me an opportunity to work through some of the more complex issues. Like, mm-hmm. if I knew I had to do, like, a commerce clause analysis or something, mm-hmm. it was helpful to be able to see, like, okay, this is how he would ask for something like that. And then I did it in torts as well with Professor Gable, just because the reason I did it for him was he had old exams and old model answers. For me, that was really helpful. And I didn't even necessarily, like, take the exam, like, a mock exam myself.
Uh-huh.
I basically just read through it, kind of outlined what I think the issues were, and then I would read a model answer and then, you know.
Okay.
So I found that very helpful, but otherwise, I have never, like, sought out the old exams because I just feel like, I don't know. And it could possibly hurt you more because sometimes professors, like, don't stick to the same, like, formats and stuff. And
true.
I mean, practice is practice, but
yeah. Yeah. Maybe you could over-rely on it.
Yes.
If they have them available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good tip for sure. Well, before we go, are there any last tips or words that you want to give the listeners who may be unsure if they will succeed in law school? Maybe they're currently struggling in law school and they're striving to achieve higher grades and they find you inspirational as the number one of the class. Is there anything that you know, words of wisdom you want to provide?
I would just say, ultimately, well, there's a few things. Like, mm-hmm. for one, I'm a first-generation student. No one in my family is an attorney. No one in my family, like, went to college or anything. So it can be easy to feel like you're behind when you go to school, when you see other people that have these connections already and are, like, basically already set up. But just know that you are really there for a reason. Like, you deserve to be there just as much as everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out of school really what you put into it. And there's a way to put a lot into it without ruining your life over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. you just have to find what works for you, these little niches that work for you. Like, my highlighting trick, people thought I was insane, and they were like, how would you even, like, prep for a class like that? Like, you literally have a coloring book on your desk right now. So, like, you just have to find what works for you. And then also, really seriously, guys, prioritize your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really struggled with that, especially my first semester of law school. Do not be afraid to, like, get therapy and just take the steps that you need. And just know that, like, law school is not the end-all be-all
mm-hmm.
for everything. Like, you don't even need good grades to get most jobs or anything.
Yeah.
You know, some of the top schools, their GPA system is not even, like, a thing anymore. Like, NYU, like, got rid of their...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, schools are starting not to really value that. So, like, if you take care of yourself, you will be a good lawyer and you will serve people better. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for all of your insights and, yeah, your tips. And, yeah, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.